Earplay is made possible by grants from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the National Endowment for the Arts.
Hello, I'm Jim Fleming. Welcome to Earplay and the BBC production of Fate of a Cockroach by Tufik Al-Hakim. Translated from Arabic, this hour-long drama gives us one man's unique observations on an otherwise ordinary occurrence. Fate of a Cockroach by Tufik Al-Hakim.
Come along, wake up. It's time for work.
Has the blinding light of day completely disappear?
Any moment now it will.
Well, leave me alone until it does.
What laziness.
I wasn't sleeping. You must remember I have my makeup to do.
Makeup? If all wives were like you, God help all husbands.
I'm the queen.
Well, I'm the king.
Well, I'm exactly the same as you. There's no difference between us at all.
There is a difference.
What?
My whiskers.
Well, I have whiskers, too.
Yes, but my whiskers are longer than yours.
Trifling difference.
But the difference exists. If you don't believe me, ask the minister, the priest, the learned doctor, and all those worthy gentlemen connected with the court.
The court?
Please, no sarcasm.
Really?
You're always trying to belittle my true worth and diminish my authority.
Your authority? Your authority over whom? Not over me, at any rate. I'm free to do as I like.
Of course you're free to do as you like. But in your capacity as queen, you must set a good example.
A good example to whom?
To the subjects, naturally.
The subjects? And where might they be? In my whole life, I've never seen anyone around you but those three. The minister, the priest, the learned doctor.
They are enough. They are the elite. The cream
but
of...
But if you're the king, you should be surrounded by the people.
Have you forgotten the characteristics of our species? We're not like those small creatures called ants who gather together in their thousands on the slightest pretext.
Oh, don't remind me of ants. A king like you claiming you have worth and authority and you don't know how to solve the ant problem.
Do you expect me to find a solution to a problem that's as old as time?
Well, shut up and don't boast about the length of your whiskers.
Please, don't talk to the king in such a tone.
King? Oh, I'd like to ask who made you a king.
I made myself a king.
Oh, yeah.
One day I discovered something that surprised me and aroused in me a feeling of admiration.
Admiration?
Yes. I was really delighted at the length of my whiskers. I immediately rose up and challenged all the cockroaches to compare their whiskers with mine, and that if mine were the longest, then I should become king over them all.
And they accepted the challenge?
No, they conceded it to me there and then, saying they had no time for whisker measuring.
And so you were automatically became His Majesty.
Just so.
Then how was it that I became queen?
By common sense logic. As I was king and you were the female I loved and lived with, so you were of necessity queen.
And what induced you to put up with the minister, the priest and the learned doctor?
Necessity.
Oh,
they are in need of someone to whom they can pour out their absurdities, whereas I am in need of close companions who will call me Your Majesty.
All of which was brought upon you by your long whiskers.
Hush! The minister's coming. Bad news, I expect.
Then have some self-respect in front of him and treat me with respect.
To hear is to obey, Your Majesty.
That's better. Husbands like you are submissive only to a woman who maintains her rights. My Lord King, help, my Lord King.
What is it?
A calamity, a great calamity, my Lord.
Goodness gracious. I told you his hobby was bringing unpleasant news. Yes, well, tell us. Delight our ears.
My son, Your Majesty, my one and only son.
What's wrong with him?
He has been taken in the prime of youth, has died in the spring of life. He has been killed. Killed?
Killed? How? Who killed him?
The ants.
Oh, the ants again.
A great catastrophe, Your Majesty. A national catastrophe. A catastrophe for the whole of our species.
The whole of our species? The death of your son?
Well, I mean rather the ants' aggression against us all in this manner.
He understands what you mean perfectly well. He merely pretends not to. He turns the matter into a personal one, so that he need not bother himself about the decisive solution which everyone awaits from him.
Are you accusing me of neglecting the duties of my position?
I am not accusing you, but I am merely drawing your attention to the necessity of finding a solution to the ant problem.
And is the problem of the ants a new one?
No.
Speak, well, Minister.
No, Your Majesty.
It is as old as time itself. Come along then, Minister. Fulfill your duties. Suggest something.
As you think best, Your Majesty.
It's up to you first to put forward an opinion, even if it's a stupid one. I will then look into it.
Put forward an opinion?
Yes. Any opinion. Speak. Quickly. It's one of the duties of your position to put forward an opinion and for me to make fun of it.
Perhaps his opinion will be sound.
Your Majesty, in my opinion, I think we could overcome the ants with the same weapon they use.
And what is their weapon?
Armies. They attack us with huge armies. Now, if we mobilize ourselves and assemble in great numbers, we'd find it easy to attack them, to scatter and to crush them under our great feet.
A stupid idea.
Why do you make fun of it before you have discussed it?
It's clearly absurd. Have you ever seen even 10 cockroaches gathered together marching in a column? How can that possibly be achieved?
I have merely given my opinion as to the plan of action. It's for others to talk about the details.
Who are those others? For example?
Our learned doctor, for one.
He's right. This is a matter for the learned doctor.
And where is the learned doctor?
Coming this way, Your Majesty.
Oh, well, tell him to hurry up. We're waiting.
Ah, my dear chap, we were just about to inquire about you. His Majesty wants you on an important matter.
Good. Well, yes, yes.
His Majesty will tell you.
No, you tell him.
Well, shall I put the whole matter to him?
Yes, quickly.
The matter in question is the problem of the ants.
What about the problem of the ants?
We want to find a decisive solution to it.
What exactly is required of me?
To assist with your knowledge, all hope now lies with science.
Define exactly what is required. What precisely is required of me? In science, things must be precisely defined.
Define things for him, Minister.
You know that the ants attack us with their armies. Mm-hmm. If we also were able to mobilize an army of 20 or even 10 cockroaches with which to attack them, we'd be able to destroy their towns and villages.
Then mobilize 10 cockroaches.
And who will do so?
Well, you and His Majesty the King. That's your job.
Our job?
Naturally. If the king can't order 10 cockroaches to assemble together, then what authority does the king have?
It seems that you're living in another world, learned doctor.
The problem is how to gather these cockroaches together.
Exactly.
Tell us, learned doctor, have you ever seen 10 cockroaches gathered together in one spot?
Yes. I once saw, a very long time ago, in the early days of my youth, several cockroaches gathered together round a piece of tomato.
A piece of tomato? Yeah. Oh, tomato?
Yes.
So, if we were able to get a piece of tomato, then a number of cockroaches would gather together round it.
Yes, good.
The problem then is how to get hold of a piece of tomato.
You've solved one problem by presenting us with another.
Suggest something other than tomato.
Any other sort of food puts us in the same position.
Our sole method of getting cockroaches together is food?
That's right. From the theoretical point of view.
What do you mean?
I mean, Your Majesty, from the practical point of view, it's all neither here nor there. Because the cockroaches assembling round the food won't make a bit of difference. They'll just eat until they're full, then clear off.
Is there no cure for this, Doctor?
It is something ingrained.
Oh, and the solution to the ant problem? We want a solution, learned Doctor.
The minister's son was torn to pieces by troops of ants who carried him off to their villages.
My sincere condolences, Minister.
Thank you. But this is not all we expect of
him. Oh, that's right. We want something more useful than merely condoling with the minister.
We want a definite remedy.
Give me time in which to examine the matter. With me, everything must be done on a proper basis, with one step following another. First, we must start by knowing ourselves, by discovering what is round about us in this vast cosmos. Do you know, for example, what is to be found behind this shiny wall beneath which we stand?
No,
What is there behind it?
I have climbed to the top of it many times and have seen the strangest of things.
What did you see?
What sort of thing?
I saw a vast chasm, probably a large lake, though the strange thing is that it's sometimes without water, and at other times full of water.
Oh, and why is that?
Why is this, do you think?
I don't yet know.
Oh.
But I was able to observe a constant factor, namely that this lake was full of water in the glare of light, but was empty of water in the darkness.
And what is the relationship between light and the water?
Yes, there is some sort of relationship, but I don't yet know the reason for it. Oh. Nevertheless, we have been able to deduce a constant law in the form of a true scientific equation, namely that light equals water and darkness equals dryness. When the lake is dry, it has a very beautiful appearance. Its sides are smooth and snow-white, as though strewn with jasmine flowers.
I wish I could see them.
With great pleasure. If your majesty would permit me, I shall lead you to the top of the wall, and then you can look down at the deep chasm. Oh, a marvellous sight.
I too would like to see it.
I'm at your disposal. Let's all go.
Wait, the priest is coming.
Come and join us, O venerable priest.
That's exactly what I should like to do, for I have just passed a most sad sight.
A sad sight?
Yes, a procession of ants carrying a cockroach. Oh. The cockroach, it seems, was dead and motionless. Oh. An ant at the head was dragging him by his whiskers, while at the rear, a group of them were pushing him. There was nothing I could do but to ask the gods to have mercy on him.
That was the minister's son.
Your son?
Yes.
May the gods comfort you. I shall say a prayer for you.
Thank you. We were just now discussing what we should do about these catastrophes. Have you any suggestion, O priest?
I have only one suggestion.
Don't you dare say to offer up sacrifices.
There's nothing else to be done. Whether the gods pay any attention, of course, is another matter. I offer the sacrifices, and the gods are free to accept or refuse them.
Your gods always refuse the sacrifices. Only the ants accept them.
Very true. Remember that piece of sugar you demanded as a sacrifice? It was the ants who ate it.
We've sacrificed before without the slightest success.
Have the gods ever listened to you, priest?
Naturally.
When was that?
Once. I was lying ill in a corner when I saw the armies of ants approaching. I was certain that I was done for. I called upon the gods with a prayer that came from the depths of my heart.
Oh.
Suddenly, I saw that a large dark cloud full of water had descended from the skies and plummeted down upon the armies of ants, sweeping them quite away, clearing them off the face of the earth.
How extraordinary!
Yes. The scientific composition of this little cloud is well known. It consists of a network of many threads hanging from a large piece of moistened sacking. However, I very much doubt the existence of any connection between this priest's prayer and the descent of this cloud.
How is it, then, that the cloud descended only after my prayer?
Pure coincidence.
What blasphemy, what apostasy.
Listen, O reverend priest, I believe, must believe, that your prayer was beneficial. I therefore ask you to pray and pray hard.
Particularly since a cost-free prayer without sacrifice has been successful.
Because it issued forth from the depths of his heart.
For your sake, madam, I shall pray.
Look!
What?
Look!
What?
An army of ants bearing the minister's son away.
Oh,
my God.
Oh.
pleases, O minister, to see your son borne off in this manner?
May the gods have mercy upon him. May the gods have mercy upon him.
It's certainly a most dignified funeral.
It is indeed.
Naturally for them, this was a most suitable occasion for joy and singing.
I implore you, don't stir up the grief of a sorrowing father with such talk. There are the ants in front of you. They're carrying off the minister's son to make a good, wholesome meal of him. Is it so difficult for us to attack and crush them and to rescue the minister's son from their hands?
Don't be so headstrong, my dear. We're powerless. You want to attack, to make war, and to fight like the ants, but this cannot happen.
Why not?
Speak, learned doctor, and tell her why the ants know methods of warfare and we don't. Tell her. Explain to her.
First, the ants have a minister of war.
A minister of war?
Well, naturally. A minister who devotes all his attention to the business of organizing armies. Is it reasonable that all these vast troops should march with such discipline and order in serried ranks without somebody responsible behind them? Somebody specialized in organizing them?
Then the whole difference between us and the ants is that they have a specialized minister of war.
And that's not all.
What else?
A brilliant minister of supply.
A minister of supply?
Brilliant one. The operation of storing food in warehouses on that enormous scale must have some remarkable economic planning behind it.
We have no need for a minister of supply because we don't have a food crisis and have no need to plan or store.
Our economy runs by sheer good luck, and we boast about it.
Boast about it?
Certainly, my dear. We have many things to boast about which should not be sneezed at.
And so, we are superior creatures.
Without doubt. We attack no living creature, we harm no one. We know nothing of greed or the desire to acquire and store things away. And so, compared to us, the ants are inferior creatures.
Which doesn't stop them eating us. We must find some way of protecting ourselves from being harmed by them.
The only way to prevent that unfortunate occurrence is not to fall on our backs.
This, then, in your view, is the whole solution.
In the view of us all.
Well, we have, in short, ended up where we began. Our meeting has been completely pointless.
In research, there is no such thing as a pointless meeting. Every investigation is useful. Which reminds me, a few moments ago, I was saying that I had just come from making a very important discovery, but no one appeared ready to listen.
Yes. And what is that discovery? Speak, I am a ready listener.
This lake.
What lake? Oh, yes, of course. Yes, we were talking about a lake, and you wanted to take the Queen and me there so that we might see it.
I shall stay here. And the minister will stay with me. He is naturally in no psychological state for sightseeing.
Indeed, no.
Well, as you both wish. And you, O illustrious priest, will you come with us?
Such reconnoiterings have nothing to do with religion. Nevertheless, I suppose...
Then let us away, learned doctor.
You come with me, I shall show you the most splendid of
all. I'm very sad about your loss. However, I am also sad and distressed about the shameful attitude of my husband.
Oh, do not blame your husband, Your Majesty.
It needs a strong character to face up to it. And I'm sorry to say that my husband is a weak character.
We rely on you, Your Majesty.
If I weren't to decide, what would he do? I'm a stronger personality than he, but he's always trying to fool himself, to make himself out as superior.
We all have our particular characteristics. He is, nevertheless, good natured.
I don't deny that. But you only take his side, because without him, you'd have no job.
Your Majesty.
Who's that singing?
A subject, cockroach.
Singing while we are thinking. Thinking from early morning about her problem. Bring her here.
Hey, you, come here.
Yes?
Who are you?
Mind your own business.
You're singing when we are thinking for you.
And who asked you to think for me?
I'm the minister.
An honour, I'm sure.
We are thinking about an important problem that threatens your life. The problem of the ants. You've come along at the right time. We'd like you and others to cooperate with us. What do you think?
Nothing to do with me, mate.
Oh. It's no good.
It's hopeless.
Oh, help! Oh, dear. Help!
What happened?
It's the king. Oh. His foot slipped. He fell into the lake.
Fallen into the lake?
Is the king dead?
Not yet. The lake's dry, but the walls are slippery and he can't get out.
Well, then let's go and help him. Save him. For heaven's sake, save my husband.
Stay where you are. There's no way of saving him. You can't get down to him.
We must do something.
And don't move. The walls along the edge of the lake are slippery, and your feet too may slip, and you'll fall in.
My husband must be saved. Save my husband, I beseech you, save him.
Yes, the king must be saved.
He must be saved.
Then no one could do so. Only he can save himself, only by his own efforts, or a miracle from the skies.
This is your chance, O priest. Save the king.
Yes, I implore you, O priest, to do something about my husband. I implore
you. There is nothing for me to do but pray.
Oh, then pray.
All of us must pray. Even skeptics, even the learned doctor.
He will pray for our sake, and for the sake of my husband.
I shall pray so that I may invalidate his argument.
So he has agreed to pray.
A most grudging acceptance.
Please, learned doctor, be obliging.
I said I would join my voice to yours. What more do you want of me?
I don't want your prayers. You spoil everything.
Leave the matter to the heavens, O venerable priest. And who knows, maybe unbeknownst to us, the doctor's voice will be acceptable.
So be it.
Then let us all pray.
Pray. Lift up your hands with me. Oh, gods.
Oh, gods.
Oh, gods. Look down upon your suffering creatures.
Look down upon your suffering creatures.
Make the smooth places rough. Save the king, O ye gods.
Save the king, O ye gods.
I don't stand with cockroach.
Is the alarm gone off, Adil?
Not yet.
Oh,
no, it has now.
It's the same thing every day. It waits till I get up, then it rings.
Well, no harm done. You've woken me up anyway.
Oh, yes. That's all that matters to you.
Where are you going?
To the bathroom, of course.
Wait! I'm going first.
Yeah, as usual. I get up before you, and you insist on getting to the bathroom before me.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Everything. Since I wake up before you, I should have the bathroom first. It's only fair.
Oh, stop wasting time. You say the same thing every day. I'm going in before you because my work is...
Your work? What about my work? I work for the same firm as you. I'm just as much of a hurry. Besides, I've got to shave.
Well, I've got to do my makeup.
Now, why on earth wear makeup in an oils, paints and chemicals factory?
What a fatuous question.
I want to know why.
Oh, for heaven's sake, don't waste any more time. Let me into the bathroom immediately.
No. And I'm not going to weaken today.
You mean you're rebelling?
Exactly. I'm rebelling.
Very well. But I warn you.
What are you going to do?
Get out of my way at once.
Over my dead body.
All right, then.
Oh, good God, Samia, have you gone mad? Samia! Open the door. Open up. Come on, open the door.
Stop trying to break it down.
You've no right to go in before me.
Well, I'm here now, and that's that.
Are you? Listen. Samia, I want to ask you something. It's very important.
I haven't had my bath yet.
Tell me quickly. Who am I?
What on earth are you talking about?
I'm asking you who I am.
Oh, of course, my husband.
No, not that. What's my function in life?
You tell me.
You take everything I have, and I take nothing of yours. You get hold of the whole of my salary, and I can't touch yours. All the payments, expenses, bills, installments come out of my pocket. Your dressmaker, your hairdresser, the installments of your car, your petrol, your fridge, your washing machine.
Oh, stop behaving like a tyrant.
Me? A tyrant?
Oh,
me?
Please. And I've got a headache and I want to have my bath in peace. Do something useful. Sew the buttons on your shirt. Get the breakfast ready.
You mean your breakfast?
Instead of talking a lot of rubbish.
Oh. Yes.
I'm going to have my bath in a minute. Can you turn the heater on?
Okay. Well, this is ridiculous. It's unnatural. I must be abnormal. Samia?
What do you want now?
I'm not a normal person. Can you hear me?
Are you ill?
Well, I shall carry out your orders. A breakfast, a heater, The bath, the heater, the breakfast, the bath, the heater, the breakfast, the bath, the bath, the bath.
Hurry up, Adil!
Right away. Hello? Hello, Rafat? No, I'm not upset. I haven't done anything yet. Tell me, baths. What? Yes, baths. Your wife. Oh, no. I'm sorry. Yes, it is a stupid question. No, nothing. Nothing at all. Actually, I feel that I'm... Yes, I'm not completely all right. No, it's not all that bad. Yes. We'll meet at the factory as usual. No, I'm fine. Fine, Rafa. Yeah. Bye.
Who are you talking to?
Just a lady. A beautiful, refined lady. Amenable and unassuming.
This is no time for infantile daydreams.
Daydreams?
After 5 years of marriage, don't you think I know you?
Then tell me who I am.
Don't keep asking that same stupid question. Do something useful.
God almighty. Any other orders?
Oh! Adil, quick, come here and look.
What's the matter?
Look, there in the bath.
What? Oh, it's a cockroach.
Is that all you can say? Kill it.
Kill it?
At once. The insecticide's in the kitchen.
You want me to kill it?
Well, naturally.
Naturally. Oh, look. It's trying to get out.
It's slipping.
The sides of the bath are slippery.
Yes, no sooner does it start climbing than it slips and falls.
Yeah, but it goes on trying. Look, Sonia. It's struggling up the side again.
And it's slipping back again. There. It's fallen all the way back.
Oh, look. It's trying again.
It's slipping. It slipped. Fallen. Well, we can't go on all day watching a cockroach trying to climb up a bath.
Oh, it's an intriguing sight, though.
What about going to work?
Oh, quite right. Work.
We've got to get rid of this cockroach.
And how do we get rid of it? This is something which is out of our hands.
Whose hands is it in, then?
In its hands. Oh, it's still climbing.
And it's still falling.
Yeah. It climbs, then it rolls over, then it falls. Note the procedure. Climbs, then slips, then rolls over, then falls to the bottom of the bath.
It climbs, then slips, then rolls over, then falls to the bottom of the bath.
Exactly. Then it starts off again without a break. Climbs, slips, rolls over.
Listen, Adil, am I going to have my bath or not?
Well, go ahead. I'm not stopping you.
What about the cockroach?
I'm only responsible for myself.
Which means you're going to leave it there in the bath?
Yes. I think it's better to leave it so that it can solve the problem on its own.
Oh, you're joking.
On the contrary. I'm being extremely serious. Don't you see that it's still trying to save itself? So let's leave it to try.
Until when?
Well, that depends on its willpower. So far, it's showing no sign of getting tired.
But I'm getting tired.
Unfortunately.
Aren't you tired?
Oh, of course. But there's nothing to be done about that.
In short, I'm not allowed to have my bath today, or to dress, or to go to work, all because of a cockroach which has fallen into the bath, and a loving husband who stands encouraging it and talking dribble. Well, I'm going to get the insecticide and kill it myself.
Over my dead body.
Open the door. Have you killed it?
Go on, cockroach. Up you go. Up. Up. Oh.
Adil, open the door. Can't you hear me, Adil?
They want to kill you with insecticide, cockroach. But I'm not going to open the door. Stick to it. That's it.
Adil, will you kindly open this door? Open up, I tell you.
Tell me first, have you changed your mind about it?
About what?
That cockroach.
Oh, good God, you really are mad.
Hello? Who? Oh, good morning, Mr. Rafat. No. Oh, no, we're not dressed yet. Oh, it was you he rang. Yes, I have noticed something strange about him. He's gone mad. He's in the bathroom. He's locked himself in. A cockroach, my dear sir. An ordinary cockroach. Oh, no. It's a very long story. Oh, no, don't worry. The company doctor. Oh, most grateful, Mr. Rafat. Yes. Yes, thank you. Thank you. I think this has gone on quite long enough.
Long enough.
And there is a limit to one's patience.
One's patience.
And my nerves are in shreds.
In shreds.
Adio, you're behaving ridiculously.
Ridiculously?
Oh, this is unreasonable. Will you answer me? Answer anything! Answer me! Answer! Answer!
Answer! Answer.
Oh, it's hopeless. I mean, there's no point in speaking to the creature. He just repeats my words like a parrot. A parrot and a cockroach in the bathroom. Oh, what am I going to do? Oh. Who is it, Amatya?
It's the doctor, ma'am.
Doctor? What doctor?
He says he's the company doctor.
Well, if that must have sent him, how amazingly quick. What am I going to do now? Adil? Adil, open the door. The company doctor's here. He's come to see you.
What?
Open up and I'll explain.
Not likely. I've heard that one before.
Adil, please, I'm not fooling. The company doctor has arrived. It seems Rappart sent him thinking you were ill. Oh, please don't keep him waiting any longer.
Look, cut this doctor stuff out.
Look, don't you believe he's here?
Well, if he is, let him talk to me himself.
All right. Amatya?
Yes, ma'am?
Ask the doctor to come up.
Certainly, ma'am.
Oh, God.
This way, please, Doctor.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Doctor. Well, it seems we've put you out for no...
Oh, no, not at all. I was already dressed when Mr. Ruffat phoned me. My house is just across the road.
Yes, we're extremely grateful, but...
And how does Mr. Adil feel?
The fact is, he's...
In any event, everything will become clear when I've examined him. Where is he, by the way?
He's here in the bathroom. I'll call
him. Oh, no. Let him take his bath in peace.
He's not taking a bath. He's... Just a moment. Adil? Open up, Adil. The doctor's waiting.
Oh, yes. Where is he?
Here in the room. Speak to him, Doctor.
Mr. Adil?
Good God. It's true.
What do you say?
You believe me? Now open up.
Doctor... This is most embarrassing.
How are you now, Mr. Adil?
I'm fine.
Fine?
Naturally.
But you haven't been feeling right since early this morning.
And you know the reason why.
Whatever the reason, the doctor's come and there's an end to it. In any case, you're late for work and there's no harm in the doctor giving you a day off. Isn't that so, Doctor?
Well, before prescribing anything, I must make an examination. Please, lie down on the bed, Mr. Adil.
Oh, but
listen to what the doctor has to say, Adil, and let him examine you. You're run down.
Yeah, but that's not sufficient reason.
It's enough for now.
Well, I prefer the doctor to know the real reason.
The real reason?
Yes. Come along, Doctor.
Where to?
To the bathroom.
You're mad, Adil. Please, Doctor, don't go.
Leave him alone, Samia. Let me show him the real reason. Come along, Doctor.
Don't listen to him, Doctor. Don't go.
Please. Oh, please.
Let the doctor go, Adil. No. It's not right.
You let him go.
Allow him to examine you. That's what he's come for.
No. I'll tell him the real reason.
That won't help.
I want to show him.
You don't realise what you're doing. Don't go, Doctor. Please.
The doctor's interested in what I have to show him. No. I'm sure of that. Now, please, Doctor. Come on.
Excuse me. Excuse me. Now, what's all this about?
Come with me, Doctor, and I'll explain things to you.
In the bathroom?
Look, what can you see in the bath?
Nothing. There's no water in it.
Well, of course there's no water in it, but isn't there something else?
No, nothing. It's empty.
True, but there's something in there.
Well, I can't see anything.
Well, look down here into the bath, Doctor. Can't you see something moving?
A cockroach.
Oh, well done.
And so?
This cockroach is the very core and essence.
The very core and essence?
Look at it carefully, Doctor. What do you notice about it?
From what point of view?
From the point of view of its behaviour.
Its behaviour?
Let me explain.
No, Samia, please let me do the talking.
But I'm better than you at explaining things now.
Now, just a moment, Samia. Let me speak first. After all, it's me we're talking about.
Well, I've got my own views on that.
Samia?
Please, allow me to find out what all this is about myself. Now, please, Mr. Adil, go into the bedroom so that I can examine you, and then I'll know the truth.
No, Doctor. The truth's not to be found on the bed, but in the bath.
In the bath?
Yes. In this bath. This cockroach.
I'm sorry, but I simply don't understand.
Oh, it's not your fault, Doctor. Of course you don't understand.
I'll explain the matter in a few words. Now, listen, Doctor. Look carefully at this cockroach and tell me what it's doing now.
What it's doing? It's not doing anything.
Look carefully, Doctor.
Oh, What exactly are you getting
at? What Adele is getting at?
No. Let the doctor discover it for himself.
Discover?
Don't you see that the cockroach is trying to do something?
Yes, of course it's trying to get out of the bath.
Ah, wonderful. Now we're getting somewhere.
I see. I see. It's all quite clear now.
So you understand what I'm driving at, Doctor. I shall now explain myself.
No, there's no need to explain. I've understood. May I have a word with you, madam?
Of course, Doctor. In here.
He's really overdoing it. How many hours does he work at the factory?
Oh, the usual hours.
Does he do other work?
He's preparing a thesis for his doctorate, but there's more to it than that.
Yes, he's certainly in need of rest. I'll write down a little prescription for him. Would you allow me, Mr. Adil?
What, Doctor?
It's just that having visited you at home in my capacity of company doctor, I must examine you, if only for the purpose of establishing that I've been here.
Well, I'm not ill.
Oh, I know that. I'm required to put in a report, and the report must show that any examination has been made.
Ah, you came in an official capacity.
Of course.
Oh, well, in that case, I must help you. Then what are you going to write in your report, seeing that I'm not ill?
Oh, leave things to me. First of all, would you just lie down here on the bed?
Yes, yeah, certainly.
Yeah. You overdo things at work.
Oh, I have to.
Now, take a deep breath. That's enough. Do you smoke?
Well, a little.
Drink a lot of coffee?
A couple of cups a day.
Alcohol, drugs?
No, never.
Do you sleep well?
Like a log.
You don't suffer from anything unusual?
No, nothing.
Thank you.
I hope everything's all right, Doctor.
Yes, fine. Everything's just fine. He's in splendid health. I've given him a prescription for some tranquilizers and given him a 3-day sick leave.
One day's plenty, Doctor.
One day's fine. There wasn't any reason to have today off, except to justify your coming here, Doctor.
Oh, very well, then. One day.
Thank you, Doctor.
On condition that you stay in bed.
Stay in bed? Whatever for?
For complete rest and relaxation.
Suppose I find complete rest and relaxation elsewhere.
Such as?
In the bathroom.
Do you hear that, Doctor? He'll be spending the day in the bathroom.
There's no harm in him taking a warm bath. It'll help him to relax.
But he won't be having a bath.
Then what will he do in the bathroom?
I shall watch the cockroach. What's wrong with that?
The cockroach, again.
Come along to the bathroom with me, and I'll explain things to you.
Another time. It's getting late, and I've got some urgent work to
do. Well, it won't take more than a minute.
I'll come back later.
When?
In the afternoon.
Oh, it'll be too late by then. Everything will have changed.
What will have changed?
The cockroach will have been killed. Do you think my wife will leave things as they are?
Ask him, Doctor, what the reason was for my not taking a bath today.
I'll tell you the reason. The reason is that she wants to destroy this cockroach.
There you are, Doctor.
Well, put yourself in the same position.
Your position?
That cockroach's position.
I'd like to have a word in private with your wife.
Oh. Yes. Of course. I'll give it to the bathroom.
Take your time.
Is anything wrong, Doctor?
I'd like to ask you a few questions.
Go ahead.
How would you assess your husband's personality?
Weak. Well, weaker than mine, anyway.
Would he admit that?
No. But he believes it deep down.
Yes, my diagnosis is appropriate, then. In his inner consciousness, he's identified himself with a cockroach. And that's the result of his concern and affection for it. You want to annoy the cockroach, and he wants to save it. It's a classic psychological state.
But are you sure?
Oh, typical case.
Can it be treated?
Well, the treatment is easy, extremely easy. All you need to do is persuade your husband that there's no similarity between him and the cockroach.
But how shall I persuade him?
You must show affection for the cockroach.
Show affection for the cockroach?
Oh, that's essential. Because if you hurt it, then in your husband's view, you'll also be hurting him.
But this is madness.
Well, naturally, it's a pathological condition.
But he's perfectly sane. Until this morning, his behaviour couldn't have been more balanced.
He is, in fact, extremely well balanced.
Then he's a normal person.
Yes, except for his cockroach fixation.
My gosh.
Oh, there's no cause for concern. With a little wisdom, patience and kindness, we'll soon be able to sort things out.
You may rest assured, Doctor, I'll be wise and patient and kind with him about everything.
Good. Now we must go along and show our concern for the cockroach.
Adele!
Hello. Have you finished your little chat?
Yes.
The doctor was advising...
Samia, doctor, look. The cockroach is still struggling. He's never once given up.
Oh, he's certainly courageous.
Oh, what courage?
I've begun to love it.
Love it? But you wanted to destroy it with insecticide.
Oh, I was stupid. Oh, look at its whiskers. They're beautiful.
Whose whiskers?
The cockroaches, of course.
Its whiskers are beautiful.
Well, don't you think so?
You're making fun of me.
Of course not, Adil. Please don't be angry. I promise I'm not making fun of you. I'm being absolutely serious. I love its whiskers. I really mean it.
And when did you discover its whiskers were so beautiful?
Well, just a moment ago when I looked at it carefully.
Oh, well, I've been looking carefully at it since early this morning, and I can't say I found anything beautiful about its whiskers.
Oh, you're being modest.
What are you talking about?
Nothing, Adil. It's just that the doctor and I have come to understand your point of view completely.
Completely. And what is my point of view?
It's that this cockroach...
should not come to any harm.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Do you know why?
Oh, we know all right.
No, Samia. I'm certain you don't really know. I shall explain it to you and the doctor.
No, there's no need, Adil. No need at all.
I think there is. Because when all's said and done, the cockroach's struggle fills me with a feeling of respect.
And who said we had less respect for it than you? We both agree, Adil, absolutely. I mean, maybe we have even more respect and appreciation for it than you. Isn't that so, Doctor?
No, of course, of course.
More than me? Oh, no, I don't think so.
Why not?
Because I've been watching it since early morning, following its every movement. The amount of strength that it's stored up is... oh, quite remarkable.
I entirely agree with you, Adil. It has an extraordinarily strong personality.
Oh, now, listen, Samia, don't get characteristics mixed up. The fact that a cockroach has strength and determination is both acceptable and reasonable. But to say it's got a personality is going too far.
I insist it's got a personality. Maybe its personality is even stronger than mine.
Oh, rubbish.
Mr. Adil, don't overestimate your wife's personality.
I'm not overestimating, but... compare my wife with a cockroach.
And why should we reject the comparison, seeing that the cockroach commands respect?
Are you making fun of me, Samia?
Oh, no, Adil, I'm absolutely serious. Just ask the doctor.
Well, you've begun to believe that you're in league with the doctor to ridicule my ideas.
Oh, God forbid.
No, Adil, I mean, please don't make such an accusation against the doctor. He's the last person to wish to harm your self-respect. I mean, he hasn't interrupted his other work and devoted all his time to us in order to make fun of you and your ideas.
Well, the contrary, the fact of the matter is...
Don't say anything, Doctor. It's obvious what your feelings are.
Oh, I'm sorry. I no doubt misunderstood.
Adil, we really do agree with you, and the cockroach is as much an object of affection to us as to you.
Affection?
Yes, and in deference to it, and to you. I have decided not to have a bath today in order to prove to you that I don't want to harm it.
Oh, thank you.
Doesn't that please you?
Yes, of course it pleases me.
Everything that pleases you, Adil, everything that makes you happy makes me happy too.
Why this sudden show of affection?
I regret all my hasty actions.
What hasty actions?
I haven't always been nice to you.
Well, that's your right as a woman and a wife. It's my duty as a man and a husband to suffer.
No, from now on I shan't make you suffer.
Then you won't go to the bathroom before me?
No, never. I'll turn over a new leaf.
You won't tell me to get the breakfast?
No, I promise.
You won't nag me and order me about?
No, I promise. I promise.
Oh. Why the sudden transformation?
Well, I didn't realise that the way I behaved towards you would have... such consequences.
What consequences?
She means you're being angry.
I mean, I almost believed you hated me this morning.
Hated you?
Yes, because of the insecticide.
Well, I was merely slightly annoyed by your desire to kill the cockroach.
Well, I didn't recognise its importance.
And do you now?
Of course.
Nah, I doubt it.
Why do you doubt it?
Because you don't watch it with sufficient attention. Look, it's now begun to stand on the bottom of the bath for long periods. What's the meaning of that?
It means that...
it's beginning to take rest.
Yes.
And now, it's preparing to climb again.
That's right, it's started to climb.
Note carefully the spot at which it begins to slip.
Yes. Yes, the same spot. There it goes. It slipped.
Oh.
Haven't you thought of rescuing it from its predicament?
And why should I do that?
To get it out alive. Don't you want it to be saved?
No.
How odd. Then you want it to die?
No. Don't want it to die either.
Then what do you want it to do?
I don't want anything. It's no concern of mine.
Oh, of course not. It's absolutely no concern of yours. You have no connections with it at all. Isn't that so, Doctor?
Without a doubt.
We're completely convinced, Adil, that you have no connection with this cockroach. We wish you to know that there's not the slightest similarity between you and it.
Does such a similarity exist, in your view?
Not in mine, Adil.
Then in who?
In your own view.
Mine? In my view, I resemble the cockroach.
Then you no longer think this is so?
Think what? That I resemble the cockroach? Now, you've really gone far too far, Samia, much too far. Me resemble a cockroach? Me?
Be so good as to allow me a few moments in private with Adil.
I'll go and make you a cup of coffee, Doctor.
Listen, Mr. Adil. Whatever your wife's views, she certainly doesn't intend to hurt your feelings.
Well, after what I've just heard...
No, believe me, she respects you, appreciates you, and has a very high regard for you. Despite your belief that your personality is weaker than hers.
My personality weaker than hers?
Well, maybe, for example, her demands, or... what might have been understood as orders.
Oh, well, she certainly likes to get her own way.
Oh, you admit this point?
Of course. Well, she's like most wives. Especially those who, like her, have graduated with their husbands from the same college and are employed in the same line of work.
You're equally well qualified in everything.
Yes.
And yet she wants to be the boss, to dominate.
Yeah, exactly.
And you let her do so?
Yeah. Do you know why?
Because...
No, please wait. Don't be too hasty and conclude from that she has a stronger personality than me. She merely... thinks she has.
And that's not true?
Well, of course it's not true.
Then why do you obey her and carry out all her orders?
It's a desire on my part to please her. Because she's a woman. Weak woman. Obsessed with her youth, her ambition, her talent. I don't like to shake her belief in her own strength and superiority. No, I'd regard that as meanness. Meanness on my part as a man.
Extraordinary. The problem's reversed.
What problem?
Another question, Mr. Adil. Why are you so interested in the cockroach?
Why are you so interested in my interest?
It's just that I...
Listen, Doctor. The whole thing's becoming clear to me. I've understood why you were both going on about its beauty and its whiskers and its personality and the similarity. What you were getting at, therefore, was that
Mr. Adil, yes, but... well, there's no point now in explaining it all. I'm sorry.
And my wife, Samia, knew the opinion you held?
Yes.
And she helped you to see me as a cockroach?
No, Mr. Adil, no. It's not like that. Well, not quite like that, I assure you.
Oh, now, listen, Doctor, I want to tell you, in all frankness, that any similarity between me and that cockroach is mere...
I do apologize, Mr. Adil. Our intentions really were well meant.
Look, allow me to finish what I was saying. If you believe that I resembled a cockroach, then you were mistaken.
Of course, I admit I was mistaken. Totally mistaken.
Yeah. A grave mistake. Because the point is, I'm unable to attain the magnificent level reached by cockroaches.
You mean serious?
Wholly serious. And I'm prepared to repeat what I said.
You've completely lost me, Mr. Adil.
Ah, well, let me explain things to you more clearly. First of all, imagine that you're a cockroach.
Me?
Imagine that you're that cockroach in the bath. That hero.
Hero?
Oh, certainly a hero. Imagine yourself in a deep well with walls of smooth marble and that you found it impossible to get out despite having made exhausting efforts to do so. What would you do?
Well, I'd give up, of course.
But it hasn't given up.
By no means. I see it repeating its attempt dozens of times.
Oh, hundreds of times. I've been watching its struggle since early morning.
Yeah. It looks as if it won't give up yet.
You're right. We're tired from watching, but it's not tired from trying.
What hope has it of escaping?
Oh, none.
Oh, unless you were to intervene and save it.
And I shall not intervene.
Why not, seeing that you admire it?
Well, I must leave it to its fate.
Were it able to scream and it screamed to you for help, wouldn't you take pity on it?
Oh, perhaps. But it can't talk and it can't scream and it can't hear me.
You've no contact with it at all.
Ah, well, that's not quite true.
You're... interested in its struggle for life.
Exactly. That is its voice, its pleading, its language, which I can hear and understand.
Ah, it's a fascinating struggle.
Isn't it?
Nevertheless, I'm surprised that you're not helping it a little, if only as a reward for the entertainment it's given you.
Yeah, well, I personally prefer not to introduce sentiment into a situation like this. Otherwise, our position is going to appear really ridiculous.
On the contrary, the position is no longer in the least ridiculous. It's become understood and acceptable, and I'm beginning to find the subject fascinating.
Coffee, Doctor?
Thanks, I'll have it in a moment.
Oh, does the cockroach interest you too now?
Certainly it's begun to interest me.
Perhaps the disease is catching.
What disease?
The doctor understands what I mean. Come along, let's drink the coffee in the other room. Have you finished your examination, Doctor?
Whose examination? My examination?
No, Adil, I'm just having a word with the doctor.
I think we may as well talk openly now. Madam, I must say, I completely endorse your husband's behaviour. There's nothing at all untoward about it.
And the cockroach?
What about it? I, too, now hope to become like the cockroach.
Oh, I see. I understand, Doctor.
No, honestly, I'm speaking seriously.
Speaking seriously?
Yes.
Of course he's serious, Samia. The doctor has explained everything to me. He's been absolutely open with
me. Is that true, Doctor?
No, the fact is, we completely misjudged the situation.
Meaning that Adil is...
Absolutely, 100%.
Oh, thank God. I was extremely worried about you, Adil.
You thought there was some sort of kinship between me and the cockroach.
Well, you can hardly blame having your great love for
it. On the contrary, it appears it wasn't love. Mm. Or anything of the sort, because if he'd loved it, he'd have had pity on it and saved it. Our whole hope now lies in your compassion.
My compassion?
Yes, and I personally would ask you to intercede on behalf of the cockroach.
On behalf of the cockroach?
Yes.
Adil, what's happened to the doctor?
He's perfectly all right. Like me.
What a disaster. You and the doctor, it'll be my turn next. Oh, no, no, it can't be. This can't be happening. I refuse to believe it. I'm going out at once. Onatia! Onatia!
Samia, have you gone mad?
Me? Mad? You have the nerve to ask me that.
Calm down, madam, and allow us to explain.
You called, ma'am?
Yes, I'm going out. Prepare my bath.
Certainly, ma'am.
Now, calm down, Samia, calm down. Let me explain things.
There's no need to get so upset, madam. Just let us say a word or two.
No, there's no point, Doctor. You're both in league against me.
Not against you, madam. It's just that I've come to appreciate your husband's point of view.
Oh, you've become like him.
Like me? You mean like a cockroach?
That's an honour for me.
Oh, you see, it really is catching. This is absurd.
I've run the bath, ma'am.
She's run the bath. Oh, my God, what's she done? What's happened?
The cockroach is dead.
Dead?
Was drowned, I suppose. Where is it? Oh, Mattia, where's the cockroach? It was here in the bath.
I threw it in the corner.
Oh.
What a pity.
Yes. It certainly is a pity.
Shall I get you a professional mourner? Shall we bring some music and you can walk in its funeral procession?
That's quite enough sarcasm. Thank you.
Let the matter rest, Mr. Adil. What's happened has happened. In any case, you wanted to leave it to its fate, and this is its fate.
Yes. It had to end. Somehow. Let's take a last look at its corpse. Oh, good heavens, Doctor. Look at those ants. Where do they come from?
A horde of ants is carrying it off.
Ants?
Yes, ants carrying off the corpse of the cockroach. Look, Sammy. It's a really extraordinary sight. Crowd of ants carrying off the cockroach and taking it up the wall. Oh, look, Doctor. They take it towards one of those cracks.
Yes, it's obviously their house or their village or their warehouse in which they'll store the
booty. Having done with the heroism of cockroaches, I suppose you're now going to start on the virtue of ants.
I doubt if it's possible to get the cockroach into that small crack.
Oh, we'll soon see.
Yes.
Hello? Oh, the doctor. Yes, he is here. Just a moment. It's for you, Doctor.
Right.
I'll just wipe up that mess in the bathroom.
Over there, Doctor.
Thank you. Hello? Oh, the company? Yes, I'm the doctor. Where is this case? Oh, wait while I write it down, would you? Thank you. The case I'm on at present. Oh, I've finished with that now. No, not at all serious, merely indisposed. Yes, I'll tell him, thanks. Well, I must leave you. I've got another patient waiting.
Oh, no, just a minute, doctor. Are you going off just like that without taking a look at the ants? Perhaps they'll succeed in getting the cockroach into that crack.
Good God.
Oh, let's go and look.
I've cleaned the bathroom, ma'am.
Oh, no. It's really too bad. All my tias remove the ants, the cockroach and the lot.
That's life.
Ha!
Well, I trust you'll spend your day resting and return to work tomorrow feeling a lot better. Well,
what's keeping me till tomorrow? I'll get dressed now and go to work immediately.
Oh, no, please. No, I'm supposed to be on leave today. Don't complicate things, Mr. Ideal. A day's sick leave and the problem's solved.
I'm going into the bathroom, if you'll excuse me. I suppose that is no longer forbidden. Advise him, Doctor, to spend his day off doing something useful.
And what, in your view, is doing something useful?
Mr. Adil knows how to spend his time usefully and enjoyably.
I bet he'll spend the day writing memoirs about the fate of the cockroach.
Where's the cockroach now? No sign is left of it, not even one of its whiskers.
The important thing was its struggle for life.
Yes. And that's what'll remain fixed in my memory. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye, Doctor.
Listen, Adil, you've got the day off today, and I want you to spend it doing something useful, do you hear? There are my clothes and dresses all crumpled up in the wardrobe. Get down to sorting them out and hang them up so that when I come back from work, I'll find everything nicely sorted out and organized. Understood? Did you hear what I said?
I did.
And let's not find a single dress creased or crumpled. Understood?
Understood.
I'm warning you.
Omatia, bring the bucket and rag and wipe me out of existence.
Fate of a Cockroach by Tufik Al-Hakim. In this BBC production, the Cockroach King was played by Fred Bryant. Margot Boyd played the Queen. The minister was Frank Williams. The doctor, Philip Voss. And the priest, Gerald Cross. John Rye was heard as Adil. Francis Jeter played his wife, Samia. The doctor was played by Leslie Heritage. Nikki Kay was the cook. The director was Gordon House. I'm Jim Fleming, inviting you to join us again for Earplay.
Play is produced at WHA for National Public Radio under grants from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the National Endowment for the Arts. This is NPR, National Public Radio.